Okay, we are up to, the Gemara is looking for a case of a boy who was not a problem of not having a bris at the time of the shechting the Karban Pesach, but became a problem before the eating of the Karban Pesach. So till now we gave three answers. First one was that he was sick. He was sick and you have to give him a week. And the week Meisleis ended on Erev Pesach after Zman Shchitus HaPesach. The second answer was, he had an eyeache. Well, you don't have to wait a week, but you have to wait till the eyeache passes. And that happened after Zman Shchitus HaPesach. And Rava's answer was, his parents were in jail, and therefore, we had to, Zman Shchitus HaPesach, they couldn't shecht. But now they could have done the Bris Mila before they eat the Pesach. And therefore, they cannot eat the Pesach. We are up to Ayin Aleph Amud Beis, 71b. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9th line from the top. Is that still 1, or is that already 2?
That is 1.
1, okay. 71a, B, 1. What happened was his genital area was covered, and it was impossible to do a bris, because we didn't even know if he was male, or even if we knew he was male. Couldn't do the bris because physically it was covered, and you don't uncover the genital area to do a bris because it's dangerous, you might kill the kid. In those days, when surgery was not so simple. But something happened that it was uncovered. The Lashon Nikra means it got ripped off, I don't know how, but it got uncovered between the Zman Asiyas HaPesach and the Zman Achilas HaPesach. It is day 8. The kid is not considered sick that you have to wait a week. He now becomes eligible for a bris. He wasn't eligible at the time of the shechting of the Karban Pesach. But now he's eligible. And therefore, at this point, this is answer number 4. At this point, he's ma'akev his parents from eating Karban Pesach because they didn't do the bris. And now comes the last answer. Shravya Amar, Gunja Haitzi Raicha Chutzla Prezder. What happened was, he had a partial birth. His head came out, but his rest of the body, the makamila, was still inside. And that's the way it was from day 1 through day 8. On day 8, by the time Asiyas HaPesach, they couldn't mal him because he still did not have a complete birth. His head was out, he was born. Because once the head is out, the baby is considered born. But mila wasn't doable because that part of the body was still inside. Now, why they didn't pull it out, what happened, I can't answer, but that's what happened, and therefore they couldn't do bris mila at the time of the Asiyas Karban Pesach. Then he came out totally. By the time of Achilas Karban Pesach, they should have done mila right away because the kid was born a week ago. Frek the Gemara, Umichaye, can a child live like that? Can a child live with his head out and the rest of the body in? But Tanya, we learned Kivan Shiyatzel Avar Oilam, once a kid is born, Niftach HaSosim B'Nistam HaPasuach. When he's a fetus, that he gets fed, and there's oxygen, and all the things come from inside the mother through the umbilical cord. And when he's born, that shuts down, and his mouth opens up, and he breathes now oxygen through his mouth. And he no longer can get any nutrition from where he got it to begin with. And therefore, if he no longer can get nutrition from where he got it to begin with, right, and now you need other parts of the body to open up, right, without that he wouldn't be able to live 1 hour because he's not getting nutrition. So from this point here, it's impossible for him to nurse. His head is out, his rest of the body is in. How does he survive? Dr. Gemara, the Zonza Ishta. He survives through the fever. It seems fever makes the person need less nutrition, and that itself keeps the patient going. In fact, the Gemara Ishta Deman. Whose fever? Elam Ishta today, his fever. Yogi Kol Shivabai. He would need a week after the fever. And you're telling me as soon as he comes out, you can do a breast. Elo the Zonza Ishta Deime. His mother had fever, and his mother's fever kept the kid going for a week. Don't ask me to explain it. I don't know, but that's what the Gemara says. Ibayasema, or I can answer you. Hani mili hechadulay mo. I don't know how to pronounce the next word. Moi? Mave. As long as he's not yelling. When do we say a kid can't survive? Is if he's not yelling. But once if he yells, then for some reason he can survive. Now Tysus has a different gears in the Gemara, which I understand better. Tysus says, meaning as long as the umbilical cord is attached to the mother, he can get nutrition through the umbilical cord, even though his head comes out. That's how Tysus learns the answer. So he survives through the umbilical cord, even though his head is out, but his umbilical cord is still attached. That which it says he can't survive is talking about if the umbilical cord is severed, at that point he can no longer get nutrition unless his mouth starts working and he gets oxygen and nutrition through his mouth. Now, that I understand. Rashi's pshat that if he yells, he survives. I'm not sure what pshat is. I don't understand, but that doesn't mean anything. Does article explain? No.
What if he's not yet salavar, he's underwater the whole time, he doesn't breathe. He gets the mother's breath.
His head's out, but he doesn't breathe. He's in sad shape. Rashi. Don't you, Rashi? Can I see if I'd write you a chutzpah price to require Avru Shiva Yamim, 7 days have passed. From that time he's a baby. His head comes out, he's considered born. The body came out between the making of the Korban Pesach and the eating of the Korban Pesach. The Havalez Mamila. Matanya ben Mapelas from Sechtes Nida in the third Perek Nida. Piv Sassum Tabure Pesuach. His mouth is closed and his umbilical cord, his navel, is open. The mouth opens up and the navel closes down. And Yachulachayis Mishm Layonik, because he cannot nurse. Some want to learn Yonik means he can't breathe, but others want to say he can't nurse, especially here, his mouth is open. But it means the Zanta Ishti Hachayli Zanas Achayla. The illness feeds the. I'm sorry, yeah, the ill person. He named Ishti Didei Shakzasa Chama, that he had fever. Kshiyatza called Tzasa when he came out and left. Koshiva Bayam Tunim Shiyatza. Don't you have to wait a week? Amran Yayim of Rasa Kiyam Yavolda. We said the day of healing is like the day of his birth. Ma'avi Tzayak, Kamei Oi Oi Vile Ashka Chubay, preparing Basra the Yuma. He screamed, Oi Oi. And they didn't look at him. That's a Gemara in Yuma. But Ma'avi means Tzayek again. Does article explain any shot in how the baby screaming keeps the baby going?
Baby's crying, generating.
That's what he says? Fine. End of sugya. So we have at the end of the day five answers of how you could have a boy. So the Maisa, the Shaila of Arlus Shleib is Mana, we didn't prove. We wanted to prove the Shaila of Arlus Shleib is Mana, prove that an Arlu at the time, even though before 8 days, can stop his parents from eating Pesach. And we rejected that because there's no mitzvah milo. Why in the world can't he eat Pesach? We gave five answers of how you can have a baby that's eligible for milo at the time of eating the Pesach, but wasn't eligible at the time of Shchitas HaPesach. We gave five different answers, three last week and two this week. Last week we gave the answer of either he had a fever and we wait 24 hours from the end of the fever. The second answer was he had an eye ache. We have to wait to the end of the eye ache. The third answer was that his parents were in jail. The fourth answer we gave today is that his genital area was covered and they got ripped up after the Ashkitas Korban Pesach, before the Ashkitas Korban Pesach. And the fifth answer is that his head came out, the rest of the body was in, and he's considered born legabe milo, but you can't do milo until the whole body came out, and that came out between the Asiyas Korban Pesach and the Achilas Korban Pesach. Amar Rabbi Yechiel Mishum Rabbi Noah. Now we're getting off on a tangent because we talked about Aro eating truma, which was the whole sugya. Aro eating truma, right? Aro by Pesach. Now we're getting involved in another area in halacha of Aro, and that is, if a Tamei Mace is an Aro, now part of the Tara process of a Tamei Mace, and only a Tamei Mace, is that you have to sprinkle on him from the water of Paraduma. third day and on the seventh day. Who yischata by yayim hashlishi, by yayim hashvi yitar. Right? He has to be sprinkled on from the water of the ashes of Paraduma, the mixture of the water and the ashes of Paraduma, and that creates Tara. Third day, seventh day. What if he's an Aral? Can the sprinkling help an Aral? Or do we say, since he's an Aral, he can't be sprinkled on? So I'm Rabbi Yechonin. What?
Why would we think
that? So that's a big kasha. Why would we think that way? We sprinkle on a Tameh. Why would we think we can't sprinkle on an Aral? Tysus asked the kasha. And he blives Shrek. I believe there's a teretz in the Tysus Harash. Something to the effect. I don't remember exactly. He probably brings it at the bottom. Tysus asked the kasha, and he doesn't give an answer. Why would I think not? Did he bring anything? Nothing. Anyway.
Rush, mute, discussion, why we might have thought.
So the Taisus Yisharim says, since he remains in our home afterwards, so maybe he should always remain in the status Aro's Kitame. So therefore, like by Tame, the sprinkling takes off Tumah. It accomplishes. Here, it's not accomplishing because he still remains in Aro. So maybe Hazal can't accomplish. Yeah, but Aro Kitame. We treat an Aro like a Tame. Anyway. That's the Taisus Hashanah says. Something by Abayt. Amar Rabbi Yechon Moshe Rabbeinu Aro Makabu Hazal. And he proves it. Shekemetinu Baveisenu, we find by our forefathers, Shekiblu Hazal Kshein Arelim, that they had the Hazal done while they were in Aro. When did this happen? When they crossed the Yarden. They crossed the Yarden, and it says over there that all the people born in the Midbar, except for Shevet Levi, did not do Bris Milah. So they were Arelim. And they had to bring a Korban Pesach. And in order to do the Korban Pesach, they had to get rid of Tameis Meis, because they were Tamei Meis. So it says over there as follows.
What are you talking about?
When they crossed the Yarden, the generation that crossed the Yarden, Yeshua ben Nun, right, after Moshe died. So it says over there as follows. Shenemar, v'am olum in ha-Yarden ba'asu l'chaydash harishon. The nation came across the Yarden in the 10th day of the first month. Now, they were mostly Tamei Emes. That's the assumption of this Gemara, because all the Yitzim Mitzrayim died in the Midbar, and the assumption is that their kids were Metameh to them. So they were mostly Tamei Emes. Now, they did have Paraduma in the Midbar. But for some reason, the Gemara is assuming that they were all Tamei Emes when they came across the Yarden. I don't know why. Meaning Rashi says, because they all became Tamei in the Midbar. But Moshe Rabbeinu made a Paraduma. So why couldn't they get sprinkled out of the Midbar and get rid of Tumas Meis while they were in the Midbar? That I don't know. Does Arsko say anything?
They have come to talk about this 40 years.
That we'll see in a minute. We'll get there. That's coming up. But first we're talking about when they came across Eretz Yisrael. Does he say anything? Can't imagine that he shouldn't say anything. Nothing? You want me to take a look at it?
Most of the Jews entered the land of Israel with Yeshua and contaminated with corpse tumor sometime during their travels.
That's what Rashi says, right.
The process involves sprinkling and coming twice. Once at least 3 days after the transfer.
But that's their Gemara. But does he say why they didn't become tar? Why they were tumay? Let me take a look. What?
If it's
the first generation, which is all men will be 20 years. The Meraglim, they die in the mid or the children.
If all the remote listeners could please mute themselves.
Yeah, but why didn't they do Paradum in the Midbar?
The first should be not occurring until after the circumcision of the 11th of Nisan. If so, they would not have the second.
That's the same shot in our Gemara, but it doesn't say why they couldn't do Paradum in the Midbar. Why we? Why were they all Tamei?
Very good question. Who said they
had Paradum? They died on
Tisha B'Av,
right?
Rashi, the Pasuk, Vayedav Hashem Amayish Leim, is Oish Chukas HaTaira, V'yikhu Eilecha Paraduma Tumim.
Paraduma.
You have a Tzibur. To Amayish Rabbeinu, he did it.
They died on Tisha
B'Av,
right? Is that the
thing? That is Bechlau, Shreya, because they went to... So you don't have to go with that medrash, you know what I mean?
They had a whole time, right? I mean... Chordum is Chutzlart also, right? It's Magael Chutzlart.
I don't see anybody ask the question. I don't know why they couldn't do Paradum in the Midbar.
Yeah, they probably just so obvious that this is really...
Yeah, but I don't see anybody talk about it.
Can I offer it?
I don't know. I don't know why. What happened to Paradum in the Midbar? I don't know. Answer it? I don't know. Back to Agamara. So they came up on the 10th day of the Yarday. Now, Erev Pesach is the 14th day. That is 4 days later. Right? Basara Leimihili, on the 10th day they didn't do a bris. Shemchul Shadorcha. They had traveled. We don't do a bris on the day of traveling. It's dangerous. So that means the earliest they could mow was the 11th day of Nisan. There has got to be a 3 day break between Hazar number one and Hazar number two. So if they would do Hazar on 11, you would have to wait 12, 13, 14, and you wouldn't be able to do the second Hazar until 15, and that's too late for Korban Pesach, which is brought on 14. That means they must have done the Hazar at 10, but they were Arelim on 10. It's a raya that Arul is Mekabel Hazar. Amos Avidlu, when did they do the first Hazar? Hazar, Amos Avidlu, Lav Kshein Arelu. It's a raya that an Arul can be Mekabel Hazar, because in order to do Hazar, they had to do it on 10 and on 14, and then they could bring Korban Pesach. But if they did it on 10, they couldn't do Bris till 11. And at 11, they were out, it's too late to start the Hazar process. So it must be that an Arul can be Mekabel Hazar. Let's do Rashi.
Why could they do Bris on 10?
Because they traveled. They crossed the Yarden. Rashi, Aru Yisrael, Shenitma B'meis, Mekabel Hazor, Litor Mitumah, so he can become Tor. Ukshiyimor, Einet Tzarech Lagzul LaHazor. And when he becomes a Milo, he doesn't have to do Hazor again. No, we're talking about going into Eretz Yisrael 40 years later.
And also
when Yisrael Nisan. Yeah, 10th day of Nisan. Correct. V'yayko b'katshim, b'leminin hazah arelis shleshim hazah. We don't say that the hazah of arelis is not called hazah. Shkebetzina b'abesenu b'me Yeshua, the Pesach Gilgo, the Pesach they did in Gilgo. Shkiblu hazah b'tumas meis k'shein arelim. They got hazah from tumas meis when they were arelim. Pasar limo, aysin shay b'midbar shay arelim. Hazah emes abed. So when did they do hazah l'tumas meis? Shalayim, that was on them. Now Rashi explained, shuroi tzibur t'mei emes hayu. Most of the tzibur was tamei emes. Shenitmu b'aviseyim when they became tamei through their parents. Jekol yaitzim mitzrayim meisu b'midbar. All yaitzim mitzrayim died in the midbar. Ve'elohim b'neim. These are their children. B'chsev. Mes b'neim heikim tachtam. Isomo Yeshua, that's the ones he mouth. Behek Nitaru Lecho Bitchem, how could they become Torah to eat the Pesach? Im like Kiblu Hazor Shlishi Ushri, if they didn't have Hazor on the third and seventh day, Kishen Arelin. That's the answer to the question. They might have become Torah in the Midbar, but they were Arelim in the Midbar also. That's the answer. I missed that part in Rashi. Answers my question. Yes, they had a part of Adum in the Midbar, and very possibly they took care of Tumas Meis in the Midbar. But they were still Arelim then, because they didn't do Bris Milah. So, Manavshak, if you hold the Arul can't be Mekabu Hazor, then they couldn't have done it in the Midbar. And they couldn't have done it when they crossed there to show. So how could they bring a Korban Pesach? So you're right. Maybe they didn't get sprinkled on day 10 and day 14. Maybe they got sprinkled on during their time in the Midbar from Moshe Rabbeinu's Paraduma. But they were Arelim. That was my mistake.
But isn't that what the Shiloh of
the
Gemara is?
The Gemara is proving that an Oral can be Mekabu Hazor.
Rebbe's question was originally...
My question was, why are we assuming they had to do Hazor now? And Rashi's answering in Konami. Don't assume that way. Assume they did it in the Midbar.
40 years.
We'll worry about the other psalm later. Again. Let's not talk about Pesach in the Midbar. Let's leave that alone. The Gemara is going
to
get to it.
So why does that have to do with crossing?
Again, the first time we see Pesach is when they crossed. I said, let's not talk about Pesach in the Midbar. Let's talk about Pesach when they crossed. So the latest they could have done Hazor is 10 and 14. Now, it might have been done earlier. That answers my question. It might have been done earlier. It could very well be that they got Hazor in the Midbar. And they were totally tar when they crossed. But the bottom line is, they were Arelim.
And we see that
someone
went off.
Right. That's this line. I call Midbar. I achshav hizu aleim kulum yachad basu l'chaydish. Or they all got sprinkled on the Yud Nisan. And they had the 4 days that's supposed to be between each sprinkling. Because if they waited to the next day, you couldn't do the second Hazor. It's a Raya, Aru Kamim Akabla Hazor.
Rashi said was done way before, right?
Could be.
Let's say it was, okay? So they're all Tar now.
Right.
So what's the worst question now?
How could they be Tar? How did it become Tar?
It must be that it works.
Right.
Exactly.
The Ryan.
That's the Ryan.
So the Gemara's Shaila here.
The Gemara says we don't know when they did Hazor. The last possible time they could have done Hazor is 10 and 14. And Mila didn't happen till 11. So no matter when you want to say they did Hazor, it had to be while they were in Arul.
Because of the
10-14 or because... I don't know if they did it earlier, it's a better Raya.
Right.
But you could always answer me that they did it then. Even then, it's 10 and 14. We don't know when they did it. We have no idea. That's what Rashi's saying. See, that was my mistake. We don't know when they did Hazor. We don't know whether they did it at 10 and 14. We don't know whether they did it 5 years earlier.
Right.
We have no idea.
Right.
But they were Arelim. No matter when they did it, they were in Arul. Because Mila didn't happen until 11.
Mila couldn't have before.
They did not do Mila in the Midbar.
Why?
With all that coming up. All those questions to be dealt with in the Gemara. But the Gemara is just telling you a fact. They didn't do Mila in the Midbar. And they didn't do it on the 10th because they traveled. The earliest they could have done it is the 11th. The latest they could do it Hazor is the 10th. Is a Raya. Not saying they did it on the 10th. Saying the latest they could have done Hazor is on the 10th. Right. But instant, now Rashi brings a second shot in the Gemara, which he rejects. Some want to say that the sprinkling wasn't for Tamei Meis, right? Like we said till now that they became Tamei to their parents. But because when you have a Bris Milah, it's considered like being there's a Gemara in Pesachim that says somebody does Bris Milah, a ger who does Bris Milah cannot bring Purim Pesach. He has to wait a week like he's a Tamei Meis. So they want to say that this Gemara is saying that the Hazor they did is they were going to do Bris Mila and take off the Arla, so they have a din of Tameh. And the Chiddush would be that you could do it the day before you take your Arla off. So Drashi v'lav milsi. It's not true. The Amar Rabbi Yechim v'perek Yishim v'msech v'sachim v'shonu Arla v'chavim. Only a ger has to wait a week after he does a Bris Mila. Abel Or Yisroel, Divri HaKoel, Otoy v'vachim b'yad, Espitzchel v'erif. V'loshin v'ishin shemati mi b'vayri azakin. That's what I heard from my Rebbe anyway, so that's the pshat the first way, that they did it because they were tamei meis, because of their forefathers. Now, Baruch Chaim pointed out that there's a Baruch Moshe pointed out that there's a medrash that when they died, nobody had to bury them. It didn't say that. See, it's not really. The medrash says that the way they died is they each dug a grave, and they went in Tisha B'Av night, and the next day, the Basco came out and said, whoever's alive, come out. And every year, a certain percentage of the population never made it out. But somebody had to cover them. So whoever covered them became Tamei Meis. Zogt Gemara weiter. And for the Gemara, Duma lo yavet Pesach. So the Gemara responds and says,
why do the people bury them become Tamei Meis? They're not actually touching the mace.
Aisle, when you put a person puts dirt on, isn't he going over the mace?
No, he can do it from a distance, a foot away.
I assume that when the person buries, he would probably lean over when he puts the dirt on.
The people
that made
it out. Okay. But they were not Tamei Meis. They're not the same grave. Everybody dug their own grave. Individual graves.
I don't know. It's a good point they make. They don't have to be over it. But
again, if you don't want to say that, you have to say that Rashi's not going with that medrash. One of the two.
I just
want to
point out that there was time enough between of and...
Yeah, but Rashi's saying, even if they had it, it was my mistake. Frek the Gemara v'dum v'l'avet Pesach Klav. Maybe they didn't bring a Korban Pesach. So the Gemara loisav g'day, took the sifah, yasus ha-Pesach. The Pesach says they made a Pesach. Now, the Rizvah asks, what kind of Hava mean is this? What, you didn't know the Pesach when you asked the question? This pasuk says they made a Pesach. Maybe they didn't make a Pesach. What do you mean, maybe they didn't make a Pesach? It says, Vayas was a Pesach. And which is the Gemara's answer. Can a Havamina Maskana is that? Zok to Mitzvah, the Havamina the Gemara is, maybe only the ones who were from the Yetzias Mitzrayim, the above 60, who didn't die in the Midbar, who were mild in Mitzrayim, maybe they're the ones that made the Pesach. Maybe Enoch Inami, the young generation, who survived the Midbar, didn't make a Pesach. And for the Gemara, it says, Vayas was a Pesach, which is Mashma, Klal Yisrael made a Pesach, not just some individuals that were left. That's how the Ritva learns the question and the answer. He's bothered by the question. How can you say, maybe they didn't make a Pesach? The Pesach explicitly says they made it. So the Ritva, the Gemara's kasha is, maybe only the individual, Shevet Levi, those who were over 60 and didn't die. There were people who survived. Right? But there were people that survived. Those survivors made the Pesach. And for the Gemara, it says, Vayasos HaPesach means Klal Yisrael made the Pesach, not just some individuals. And therefore, that can't be pshat, must be that they were not, that they were Makabu Hazah. Frek the Gemara, Maskel HaMar Sutra. Maybe Tumahot Rebetzibur. Maybe Enoch Inami, they were Tameh. They couldn't be Mekabu Hazah. But the rule is, if Rav Klal Yisrael is Tameh, you can bring a Pesach Betumah. So maybe they brought the Pesach Betumah. Who says that making the Pesach had to be a Torah Pesach? Maybe it was a Tameh Pesach. Zok to Gemara. Amalei Ravashi, Tanya Behedya. Tzibraisa, Malu v'tavlu v'asu b'schein b'tara. You know, you want to ask questions, you can ask questions. The Braitha says they were Tor. So the Braitha is saying that they must have been Mekabla Hazor as Arelim. Rashi. Zok to Rashi. No Rashi. Period.
Why are they able to part of
the
process?
What?
Why are they
taking it? It was from his maze. Don't think about that. The truth is, it's interesting because the Gemara says in Pesachim also, and Aro Yisro tivels, and that eats his Pesach. So it seems that an oral should tivel after he has his rest. Interesting. It's a rabbinic tefillah, it's not a biblical tefillah. Not to give my advice. I'm a rabbi, I'm a rabbi, by Yitzchak, I'm a rav. A new sugya. Well, we're going to go back to the old sugya, but meanwhile, it's a new sugya. Like Nitna Priya Mila Avraham Avinu. There are two skins by Bres Mila. There's the Arha Arla, and under the Arha Arla is something called Arha Priya. It is a thin membrane that is under the Arla. I think Arla is called foreskin. Under the foreskin is an other level of skin that's not attached to the Arla. It's a separate skin. It's called Arha Priya. Avraham Avinu was not given the mitzvah Priya. Priya was given for Yeshua ben Nun. It was not given before Yeshua ben Nun. Why? The Shlema, Be'esahi, Amar Hashem, O Yeshua, Asei Lucha Charvis Surim, make yourself Charvis Surim is a
sharp knife,
and mal them. Right? So, why did he have to mal them? Weren't they nimble already? This is the Gemara talking. Must be, he did something that wasn't done till then, which is Priya. Frex the Gemara, the Domahanach Leibo. There were those that weren't mauled. Not that he did Priya, maybe he did Bris Mila, the Chsev. Kimulim Hayako Yisrael Yaitzim. All the Yidden was left Mitzrayim had done Bris Mila. Cholam HaYiludim did not do Bris Mila. The ones born in the Midbar did not. So what are you telling me he did? Priya, he did basic Mila. Zakti Gemarim came my Shuv. What does that mean? Veshuv, Ma'ilat B'nai Yisrael. Veshuv means go back. That means do something even to the ones that were mauled. If it's only to maul the ones that were born, then it's not Veshuv. How does it translate Veshuv? Go back?
Again.
What's again? There it is. He did Priya. The Kavashim came my Shuv to Mashmizim Nachrita. El Alav, Shema Minol Priya. So now the question they ask, is Yeshua is not allowed to tell me new halachas. A Navi can't make up a new halacha. There it is. It was a halacha l'Moshe Mitzinai that Priya will start at when they go into Eretz Yisrael. Now, over here, the Achronim bring a raya to a major controversy that erupted over many years, including today. And that is the Rambam Paskins that Priya has to be done with your nails. You cut the Mila off with a knife. And then the Rambam says that you do Priya by using your fingernails and bending back that membrane. That is what the Rambam paskens. Question is that necessary or not? It's built on a medrash. David HaMelech said that nails are used for Priya and for Havdalah. The medrash says. A medrash in Tehillim that nails are to be used for Priya and for Havdalah, to check your nails by the oir haner. That's the medrash. So they want to paskin, many people, that Priya has to be done by nails. You cannot cut the oir ha-priya off. Others, a lot of Bailam, like to cut the oir ha-priya off. What they do is when they pick up the arla and put on the guard, they also lift up the oir ha-priya, and that way when they cut, they're cutting both the oir ha-mila and oir ha-priya off with a knife. One of the riots they bring that's legal is this Gemara. It said Yeshua and Ben Nun was told to make a knife and go do again. Mashmah, he did it with a knife, not with his hands. It's a pirate. So they answer, Achiezer and others, that it's no raya. Again, I'm talking without knowing what I'm talking about, just quoting what they say, that by a older person, the Ora Priya gets hard and it can't be removed by nails. By Shein came by young child, it's removable with a nail. So this is a big tumult. A lot of Paiskim were very afraid of inroads made by reform, and therefore they banned any change in the act of Mila. It goes together with the tumult about Metzitza Bepeh, can you do Metzitza through a gauze, you have to do Metzitza with your mouth. All those things were, the people were afraid that people were changing the Messiah. However, today, I think what the Milam do here is they, I think different Milam do it differently. I think there was one Milam town that insists on doing it the old-fashioned way. But the other Milam, I think what they do is they cut off some of the Ara Priya with a knife, and then finish the Priya with their nail. That way, at least some of the Ara Priya is removed by it with a nail. That's what I think they do today. I'm not sure. I didn't look into it, but that's what somebody once told me, that the Myling Yerushalayim that taught a lot of this Myling, that's what he used to do. Some of the Ara Priya he cut off, but he left over some that that you can do it by nail. Some old-fashioned Myling still do it the first way. They cut up the Ara Mila, and then they do the Ara Priya by nail. With a nail.
The Gala Torah, that means Priya?
The Gala Torah means the Priya is off, correct.
So the Midbar, they had a Torah that was covered? That
correct. You just heard it. But not with the Arla. The Arla was gone.
The Ara Priya.
See, there's a Rashi and Chumash that seems to indicate the other way. That's why I don't know what I'm talking about. So Rashi says Avraham Avinu didn't need, because since he had had Tashmish many times, it says Nisrachei Chaor, it was gone by itself. So it's mashma that older people don't have an Ara Priya.
It goes back by itself.
But I don't know. I can't answer that question. Back to you. Back to my advice. Practicing Gemara, El Alav my Sheinus. So once you're going to do that, it says Veshuv Moil as Bnei Yisrael Sheinus. What's Sheinus? La Kushi Saif Mila L'Tchilas Mila. It's coming to compare the end of the Mila to the beginning of the Mila. Now Rashi says the strands that are left have to be removed. And therefore, you have to be careful at the end to make sure that you finish the job. The end is as important as the beginning. Matchilas mila ma'akeves, just like everybody understands, you got to take the arla off. Avsoif mila ma'akvumbay. Also, the end, you have to make sure that it's totally removed. The tanan, elu hain tzitzin ha'ma'akvunas ha'mila. Not talking about the Priya, the Mila itself. That's how Rashi learns. The Tan, Elu ain titzin ha-ma'akun es ha-mila. These are the strands that are ma'ak of the Mila. Basar ha-choyfes roi v'atara. The basar that covers most of the corona. No. And that's what Shainis tells me. To make sure, he was sure that he got everything off. And Uncle Batruman, if it has something that covers roi v'atara, which, by the way, Roi V'Atara doesn't mean the circumference. Roi V'Atara means it goes above to the end of the body. A strand goes over the Atara to the end of the body. Roi of it, he has to remove it. And that's what Shainis means.
That's what Yeshua did?
He did that also. When he did Mila, he did Priya, and he also did, he made sure that he did the Mila in totality.
But how about all the other people that had Mila?
They had Mila already. The Shainis is not going of those.
Why not?
Because there's no reason to say it is. I don't know. Rashi. My Shainis. Hashta the Darshan Shuv. Once you're Darshaning Shuv, Shainis Matidjushvei. Lishnach Rina, my Shuv and my Shainis. That the Darshan wasn't from Shuv, it was from the combination Shuv and Shainis. And the Lav Labriya. Ulahai Gris, Nishna Grisinan, Beduma Lakusha Saif Mila. Maybe it's not for Priya. Maybe it's to say you have to finish the job. The Lav Labriya, Sala, the Ikov, coming to the Ikov Saif Mila. Even though it's not most of the circumference, but if in one area it goes from above the corona towards the end of the body most of the way, it's a ma'akev.
Why should we think he didn't do that?
What?
Originally.
I don't know. No, I don't know. I'm asking. I don't know.
It's Likuba, right?
Yes.
That's a now Likuba.
True.
Or the Likuba before.
True.
Somebody has to ask you, is it
Tysus asked a different question, but based on the thing. So Tysus says, maybe just like Shainis is not telling me a new halacha of Yeshua, so maybe Priya is also not a new halacha of Yeshua. So who says Yeshua was the one that gave him Priya? Maybe just like the Torah is telling me he was careful to finish the whole thing, so the Torah is telling me he was careful to do Priya. So Taisa's answer is that there's another pasuk for Tzitzin HaMa'akvin in the Chumash. There is no pasuk of Priya in the Chumash. Therefore, one we say Yeshua is just careful, and one we say is to tell me the halacha of Priya.
Where's that fit in?
What?
Yeah, where's that in?
But Tzitzin Mepaz is not brought to the Chumash. It's the Gemara says in Masechta Shabbos.
It's all for Rabbanan?
No, it's necessary because it's sakana for the baby if not. That's what the Gemara says. Which created a whole turmoil. Today it's not a sakana, so we should change it. This is what the all the mafarshim say. If the Gemara tells me you have to do it, you have to do it. The Gemara says if one doesn't do it, we fire him. Now the shaila is, you need a bepeh or not? That's a machlokes. So you have to have the purists who do it bepeh, and then you have more other ones that don't do it bepeh; they do it with a gauze. There was a male who used to come out sometimes in Eretz Yisrael. He was from out of town. Some people used him. He didn't do metzitza bepeh. But in the yeshiva, there were machbet to do yeshiva metzitza bepeh. He didn't want to do metzitza bepeh. He never did it. So he always had a cold. He always said, I have a cold because somebody else do metzitza. So he had somebody else do the metzitza because he always had a cold. When the birth came, for some reason, whenever he was the male, he had a cold. So he said, I can't do matzita, I have a cold. Can somebody else do matzita? There was always somebody that volunteered to do matzita, and he always had a cold. We all thought it was very funny that he always had a cold. There it is, he was Simon of the Paiskim, and say you don't need matzita back. There are Paiskim that hold that way, I mean, big Paiskim. Then there are Paiskim that say, Chas v'Shalom, don't you dare tamper with the Messiah's Hatira.
When did this problem comes out?
Well, when certain people stop doing matzitza bepeh. See, I don't know exactly, but it was always associated with people who wanted to change religious practices. And that's why it set off alarm bells. Meaning, it was at the same time that other changes were happening by people who decided to change halacha. So the question was, were all changes in halacha? Were some changes not changes in halacha? That became the question. Don't think of my mind. But midbar my time and all. Why didn't they do bris milah in the midbar? So ibay zaymim shemchushad orcha. They were always traveling, and therefore they never knew where they would travel next. You couldn't do bris milah because it's dangerous. Ibay zayma. It's interesting, right? The rabbanim shlalim made them travel at different times, but they never knew when. So therefore they never did bris milah.
So bris milah was not done then.
Exactly.
Wasn't dangerous.
And Tyson speaks out that all those born in the midbar could not even touch him because they were not mole. Only the ones came out of Mitzrayim were allowed to eat kachem. Aro can't eat kachem. Tyson speaks out. People say, "Mishum doynashet lo ruach tzvaynes." It seems that the northern wind heals the bris milah. It's part of the healing process. And during the time of the midbar, there was no northern wind except for midnight. And therefore, the Gemara is going to say, therefore they couldn't do bris milah because the healing didn't work well and it was dangerous. The Tanya, Kalais and Abom Shanish HaYishab HaMidbar, Loi Nash B'Lohem Ruach Tzvaynes. It didn't blow. If it's going my time, why not? If it's such a good wind to have, so why during the time of the midbar did Hashem keep the northern wind from blowing? Because they were partially, how does he translate with Nizufim? Partially in Cherem, rebuked by Hashem, because they made the eagle. So part of the punishment was they didn't get the northern wind. The wind would scatter the Anani covered, and Hashem didn't want to scatter the Anani covered, so the northern wind didn't come. Even though it meant that they didn't do bris milah.
Oh, I thought to say that the Anani covered blocked the northern wind.
That's what Veda.
I know. That's what I was saying.
Tantrachi, Lenash Ruach. It is a calm wind. Loikam of Aloitanenis. It is not hot, not cold. V'cham is erachas, and it comes when the sun is shining. V'nash b'amruch tzvaynis b'yayim. V'lezarcha cham aleim, and they didn't have the sun. Rashi makes it sound that the northern wind blew, but not having the northern wind, they did not have good sunlight. Ibay yisayim shum the nezufim v'ayim imay se'ego. V'ayruim l'or noiga, and they weren't zaycha to that good sun. So Rashi seems to say it's the sun that's the healing. The northern wind just brings about a certain sunlight. Ibai Zayma, it's like Cleveland. They don't have northern wind, obviously, because we barely get sunlight. Ibai Zayma, Mishum, Haki, Le Nashbe, Kerech, Le Nivdra, Anani, Akavit, Shem, Akifim, Le Sakama, Yechai, Le Likanis. Right? The sun wouldn't be able to come in. Therefore, it's interesting. The sun didn't come in because they were protected by Anani, Akavit, but therefore they didn't do Bris Milah. That's just the way it was.
And then they covered them on the roof also.
Yes.
So they were always over Ken.
Right. So they only made one Pesach in the Midbar. That's what the Gemara says. They only made it the second year.
Why?
Because they didn't have Bismila. Bismila's Chara Vavada, Bismakev. Their kids were Nimal.
When did Pesach Sheni get requested?
The second year in the Midbar. Seems that they made. Because I guess at that point, you had most of the Klal Yisrael that didn't have kids that were born at that point yet that were Nimal.
Then it wouldn't be no gay until he entered Eretz Yisrael, right?
Exactly, that's what I just said. They didn't do Pesach all 40 years. That first year.
Well, they did
the
first year.
Yeah, because Mishal Veltzafen were Tame from carrying a Reina Shoyaisa or whatever it is, or from bearing Nadav Avihu.
Remember, Ozach Chama, what does that mean? Is that Ma'akev? Bismillah?
Seems it's Ma'akev, the healing process. Without sunlight, it's dangerous to do Mila.
That means if someone's stuck in a cave for whatever reason, hiding,
he can't. Hilkach Yoyma de Iva, a cloudy day, Vyoyma de Shusa, or a day of a southern wind, which is a non healthy wind, Loyma Alinam Bay, Vyoyma Sechrinam Bay. Don't do Bris Mila, and don't let blood, because then you need sunlight to heal, and the Ruach Droimus doesn't let it, or it's a cloudy day, it doesn't let it. Va'idna the Dasha Bay Rabbim. However, now that everybody does it, Shemer B'Soim Hashem. It goes under Shemer B'Soim, meaning don't worry about it. Because whatever everybody does can be dangerous. You say it in life. The Rabbani, okay, well, I have to be Maruch on this. Let me just do Rashi. Zuk Rashi. Yayim de'iva, yayim ha'mu'una, yayim de'shusa. Yaim Sharuach Duraimis Minashabas, the Koshimikala Ruchites, it's worse than all the wind. Now this Shem Ripsoim Hashem, it's a major sugya. It seems that if people do something without assuming it's dangerous, then it's not dangerous. However, people who know it's dangerous and do it are not necessarily covered. It became common that everybody did Bismillah on a cloudy day, nobody even thought about it. So it became a non-dangerous thing to do. Right. This is commonly used. This is Yitzchak Margaretin, but I'm talking now is my own theory. When I was a kid, we crammed into a station wagon all kinds of number of kids that today would be arrested for child abuse, and we put that number of people in a station wagon. To me, that was Shem Ripsam Hashem. It wasn't viewed as dangerous. Everybody did it. And Mamela, there was a Shem Ripsam Hashem. Now that everybody is well aware of child safety in a car with seatbelts, v'chulu, which didn't exist when I was a kid. I still remember when they invented seatbelts, right? So, that's not true. Was not. I don't think so. I don't think it was that many. It wasn't widespread. Everybody was doing it. Then you say Shem Ripsam Hashem. Today, you wouldn't be able to say Shem Ripsam Hashem on cramming a car. I mean, I don't want to be in my class to show them say anything, because everybody realizes the danger. Same thing with smoking. Ramesh has a tshuva written in the 1970s where he says smoking is Shem Ripsam Hashem. You cannot ask for smoking. Because everybody does it. People die. People die from other things too. Shem Ripsam Hashem. Ramesh has a tshuva. However, that might have changed, because as people became more and more aware of its danger.
So it was dangerous. We weren't aware of it.
Again, what it's trying to say is, it's not us to do, because people are not. It's not considered taking chances with your life. That's what he's saying. Halachically speaking, you're allowed to rely on the fact that everybody does it. However, that changes with time. That's what I'm trying to say. We'll maybe talk about it more.